My name is Mike Malevsky, and it's my pleasure today to have in the studio Samantha Bomachin and on the line from Nicaragua, Kellen Morgan. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
This is kind of an interesting topic. It has many connectors, a lot of dots. It all started because I wandered out to the Matsu College and ran into Sam in a technology classroom that happened to have some solar equipment there. We started talking a little bit, and before you knew it, we were talking about Nicaragua and a project that I understand you are very much involved with there. Kellen, how about just telling us a little bit about yourself, how it comes to be that you're there talking about this topic with us?
Sure. I graduated from a small state school in New York, SUNY Geneseo, in 2006. And while I was a senior, the mayor of El Salto, Nicaragua, which is where I live right now, he was visiting the college on kind of an exploratory trip to see if he could convince the college to start a small economic development program. So I got involved with a professor who was in charge of the program, and I came down on a couple exploratory visits right around the time of my graduation, and I was pretty excited about it. And Geneseo decided after I graduated that they were going to send me down to lead a group of students. And then that group of students led to another group of students, and then they finally offered me a position to run their study abroad program.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Now, when was this? How long ago was this?
This was, the mayor's visit was in 2005, and then I officially moved to Nicaragua in 2007.
Okay. One of the other things that it lends a certain quality to all of this is that both my wife and I have been in Nicaragua, but a long time ago. She was there in 1987. She spent about 3 months there, and she was part of a brigade that built houses on a cattle cooperative. And that had been organized by architects and planners in support of Nicaragua based in Los Angeles. And she stayed there and helped build those houses for a time. And she is still in contact with those people now some 27 years later. And also I, as it turned out, was working with a good friend, a physician in Washington, D.C., who was helping to arrange drug deliveries into Nicaragua. And I brought some down and made a trip to Hinatega. That was also in about that same time frame when Daniel Ortega was president and Miguel Descoto was foreign minister. That was back in the day, so we have some history here.
Great.
So going on from that point, you're in Nicaragua, and the point of interest that we had to do with a project that I understand allows for solar power installations to be installed in Nicaragua as part of a kind of a nonprofit cooperative effort. So tell us about that.
Well, even backtracking just a little bit, throughout our workings with the college, a colleague of mine, who's Nicaraguan, her name is Yacareli Mairena, she and I were really interested in dealing with small cooperatives and trying to help start small businesses. And in 2009, we got together and we decided to start a small nonprofit called Amase Project. Originally, it was started informally, and it was kind of just to be able to have a name to something that we were doing and be able to have people refer to us when we were working with them as cooperatives or as in small communities. That has since grown to be a New York State registered not-for-profit, 501c3, tax-exempt status and everything, and that has since grown to do some other community projects besides just cooperative development. Relating to the solar panels, we started working with a group of farmers in a really small rural community about 10 miles outside of El Sauce, which is where we work, in the mountains. And they, even though they're only 10 miles away from the town, they don't have running water or electricity. And one of the needs that they had come to us with through our dealings with their cooperative was that they were interested in getting solar panels because they tend to, students, their children were unable to study at night. It gets dark in Nicaragua at about 6 o'clock, so it really limits the amount of activity after dusk. And so we were able to work with another local nonprofit called EOS International, and we were able to finance the solar panels, and they installed them to the 25 members of the cooperative.
Oh, okay. Very, very, very interesting. I appreciate that background. We are in Alaska also looking, and I say we, I mean a variety of different groups as well as individuals in utilizing solar panels. And, of course, I'm suspecting the similar kinds of issues associated with solar panels apply there as they do here. Like, technically, I understand the price of solar panels has declined in the last 6 years. And there have been some improvements in performance, et cetera. There you are in Nicaragua. How easy is it to obtain solar panels and associated equipment?
For organizations, it is very easy. There's probably 5 to 6 relatively large companies that work out of Managua and some of the other cities, and they have, you know, retail stores open where you can go walk in and buy a solar panel and have them come and sell it for you. They tend to run between $350 upwards of probably $1,000 or more, depending on how the size you'd like. And for the farmers, it's a little bit more difficult because most of them don't live near the large cities. So we kind of were able to act as facilitators to help them and get those solar panels.
Well, maybe for the listeners, it would be interesting to know, you've described a particular place. Thinking of Nicaragua as a whole, how much penetration, if I could put it that way, has solar energy made into providing power throughout the country?
Well, because the electricity and the power company has been working recently to expand their network, but they haven't really... certainly haven't reached everywhere. You see a lot more solar panels here in Nicaragua than I've ever seen in the States. Oftentimes, because of the cost associated with them,
right,
they are provided usually through government subsidies or government projects or grants, or non-for-profits also doing the same, having different types of projects where they will maybe provide so solar panels to 25 or 35 or all the families that exist in a small community. So they're very prevalent, especially in the rural areas.
Okay. Now, one of the situations here in Alaska that I suspect is similar in Nicaragua is that Alaska is arguably rural, and we have a core area grid that works, but very often solar panels are developed and set in similarly in remote areas that are not tied into a grid. I'm somewhat familiar with the geography and location of major cities and so on in Nicaragua, but I would suspect that there isn't a countrywide grid that's operational. Is that correct?
That is correct. Every major city is part of the nationwide grid, and depending on the geography of the communities that surround those cities, you may find electrical network going out as far as, you know, 30, 40, 50 kilometers, sometimes more, sometimes can connect to the next farm. But if you'll find a lot of times in the more mountainous areas where it's more expensive to bring the machines in to set up the grid, that's where you'll see a lot more solar panel use.
Okay, I understand that. Samantha's ready to speak here. Go for it.
One thing I think is interesting about the solar panel involvement that we have is that it allows for other groups that we work with, particularly Fuente de Pino, which is a group of women who work to build pine needle baskets by hand. They're really beautiful, and it's a way for them to work after dusk because it does get dark so early in Nicaragua, 6 o'clock. relatively early anyway.
Well, I remember that experience was, you know, a reminder, especially if you travel from Alaska in the summertime when you've got this light.
Right. So it allows them to work on these, and it's really awesome to see all of these women becoming interested in this program, because the men in the region are mostly coffee bean or red bean farmers, and it doesn't bring in a whole lot of income. So it allows the women to make an additional income for the household to help their kids with their education and their medical attention. A lot of the hospitals and medical facilities are far away from Ocotal, like a 5-hour walk, because people up there don't have cars. Mm-hmm. And many of the schools are very far away as well. And that's actually another project we're working on. We've built several schools, partnering with different organizations. Currently, Kellen, correct me if I'm wrong, we're working on 1 or 2 schools right now.
Sorry?
We're working on 1 or 2 schools right now. I can't remember if it's 1 or 2, but...
Oh, yes. We just finished 1 elementary school, not too far away from the area we're talking about, and we'll be starting a 2nd school in 2 months, mm-hmm. also in a rural area.
Okay, and remind the listeners that I'm speaking with Kellen Morgan, who's speaking from Nicaragua, and Samantha Bromagen, who's here in the studio. Sam, how did you get involved with all of this? We didn't cover that yet.
Yeah, actually, in 2009, Kellen mentioned that year a little bit earlier. That's kind of when I think things were transitioning from being Kellen solely leading student trips from SUNY schools in New York to starting a nonprofit, which would kind of create more lasting programs, just having more of an impact on the economy and the country, the towns right there. So I was actually, I think it was during my winter break of school. Actually, no, I had already graduated. And I had a friend who was still in school, and we were looking for some sort of a broad opportunity to go to together, and she had seen through Geneseo that there was this study abroad program in El Sauce, Nicaragua, and so I contacted, who turns out to be Kellen, to see if non-students could come as well, and he said, oh, sure, absolutely, come down, we have plenty to do, and I ended up working as an intern for about half a year, and they did find plenty for me to do. And then I made several trips after that. I think it's been a couple years since I've been able to go back now, but mm-hmm. I do hope to come back sometime.
Okay. But you've been in contact with Kellen, obviously,
yes.
On the phone.
Yep. I sit on the board of directors, so I try to stay in pretty frequent contact.
Well, that leads into another interesting, I think, set of questions. I've participated on many boards with a lot of nonprofit organizations, and consistently there's always the question of finances. So speak a little, either Kellen or Sam, about that issue of where does the money come from?
Well, I'll let Kellen talk because he also happens to be the treasurer for the board of directors.
Perfect.
So our funding primarily comes through our relationship with universities and organizations that use us to organize their volunteer work in their university and or their academic work with universities.
Okay.
We try not to rely, especially for our administrative costs, on donations. We tend to focus mostly our donations and getting support from friends of El Sauce in Nicaragua for projects. So we promote different trips throughout the year. Most of them are through, like Sam had mentioned, through the university, but some of them we also do for local community groups that might want to come down to help raise money for a school, and then they help out in a little bit while they're here for a couple days, and we show them some of the cool cultural spots in Nicaragua. And then they go home, and then they use that their trip to help them raise more money for the following school that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm involved with is Rotary, and Rotary International has a whole variety of different programs, et cetera. Are you in any way tied into Rotary programs, or have you spoken at Rotary groups?
We've actually had, from Rotary International, we had, back when I was there in 2009, I think it was 500... solar ovens donated to us. Was that correct, Kellen?
Yes.
Okay, the solar. Go ahead.
Yeah, the solar ovens was a project that we kind of helped administer on the side. That was kind of before Enlace had began. And the idea was to help minimize the use of firewood in cooking, and not necessarily so that people would eradicate it, but they would help minimize it. Because a lot of, if not all of rural communities rely on firewood for their fuel for cooking.
And that actually causes several problems. Deforestation is a huge issue in Nicaragua, and the amount of smoke that the traditional sort of oven produces from burning this wood is very unhealthy for the women cooking. It's worse than smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. I forget what the exact, like, equation was, but it was something ridiculous.
Okay. Well, so you've talked about a number of reasons why the whole solar use of solar energy is good, and you've looked back at what you have been doing. I'm interested in plans for the future. What kind of things do you see coming up in the next few years?
Like we had mentioned earlier, we're starting fundraising and then subsequently construction on our fifth elementary school that we would build in conjunction with the Ministry of Education and the local mayor's office in Alfalfa. Aside from that project, one of our long-running programs is tourism development cooperative. And one of the cooperatives that we work with, a local tourism cooperative in the mountain community we're talking about, we're helping them build a collective cabin. So essentially it is like a little mini hotel. It's got three different rooms that can be rented out individually. And we were able to get some funding independently from that. And we're also working together with the mayor's office and with the cooperative to be able to help get that project going so that they can offer a different type of service to the tourists that come up and stay in the area.
Okay. Sam, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, while I was there, I had a lot of fun working on building trails through the mountains and working with the locals there, just developing hiking for people who want to come and explore the country a little bit. And then there's numerous tours that people can take while they're staying in Ocotal, whether at this facility that Kellen's describing, or you can also choose to stay with a host family, which we've worked to build appropriate rooms on their houses. So you can take tortilla tours, where you learn how to make a tortilla from scratch, horseback riding, coffee bean farm tours, and you can go all the way from picking the bean to roasting it and drinking it. So it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, I know that in the past, particularly the time when Lee and I were there in Nicaragua, there were some concerns about safety because there was a considerable amount of fighting going on in a variety of parts of Nicaragua. Well, how would you describe the situation today?
The current situation is very stable. Really, we've been running trips and bringing student groups down here, which means that we also get to deal with college administrators and parents. And that's often a common question that we've asked. They asked us, how safe is Nicaragua? Are my children going to be fine if I send them down there? And really, I feel when I'm here, as safe as I would any place that I've ever visited, or for that matter, living back in New York. Really, politically speaking, it is stable currently. The government has done a lot to help minimize the amount of gangs, and a lot of times people hear about problems in Honduras, in El Salvador, and in Guatemala. And I guess, obviously, Mexico as well sometimes has problems. But in Nicaragua, there really, really isn't that presence. And they've done a really good job of trying to minimize the amount of gang violence. And like in any city or any cities, there will be, problems here or there, but really it's a localized problem, and it's not a network and not a nationwide problem. So we really feel very fortunate, especially for our programs, because we were able to show that we have a good track record of very no violent crimes, involving any of our students, any of our participants, and really the situation is very stable here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and me as a white female, I felt very safe there while during my stay as well and all of my trips. I wasn't usually going around alone, mostly because I just prefer to be with friends. But I never felt threatened, and especially in El Sauce, I think Enlace Project, the nonprofit, you know, has a really good name, and people want volunteers coming down and helping, and they respect that. So I don't think that they would ever threaten anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, the listeners were interested in reviewing some of the things we've talked about, and is there a webpage, Facebook page, et cetera, they can go?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Our website is enlaceproject.org.
I can spell that for you.
And our Facebook page is the same, Enlace Project. Enlace spelled, for those who might not know, E-N-L-A-C-E.
E-N-L-A-C-E. C-E.
Yeah. And then like just... enlace is how you say it. And enlace in Spanish means connections or link, which is kind of what we do. We connect local supporters from the United States to businesses and communities in Nicaragua. We try to help benefits of both in terms of cultural exchange or support in terms of rural development or economic development.
Okay. Well, Kellen Morgan and Samantha Brumagen, do you have any last comments before we finish up? Sam, you go first.
Okay. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time in Nicaragua and working with Enlace Project, and I would love to talk to anyone who's interested in hearing more about it. My email address is sambrumagen@gmail.com. That's sambrumagin@gmail.com. If you're interested in hearing any more about programs, trips, donating, anything like that.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Kellen, last comments.
I want to thank the opportunity to be able to talk a little bit on Lase and El Sauce, or Nicaragua, rather. Nicaragua is a great place, and sometimes, like you'd mentioned before, it has the image or the rap that it can be a little dangerous, but I would suggest your more adventurous listeners to consider coming down to El Sauce or to Nicaragua to visit. It is a wonderful place. People are very open, and I think people can learn a lot from coming down here. So, again, like Sam said, if people are interested in contacting us through the website, you can find some of the other contact information for people down here. We'd love to chat about some of our projects or programs, our beneficiaries, or even ways of collaboration. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good night.
I look forward to hearing you. Yeah, the same to you.
See you, Kellen.
Okay, bye-bye.